So I'm here with Rabbi Yehuda Glick in Jerusalem for a special edition of Bible in the News. And so tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do and what your experiences. I mean, you've done everything from serving in the Knesset to surviving an assassination attempt to now helping people get onto the Temple Mount. So we'll go ahead and...
Wow, that's a long... I don't know where we want to start, but my name is Yehuda Glick. I am married to Hadas. I'm 57 years old, and I've been involved in a lot of fulfilling of the words of the Torah for many years. And that includes, I was part of the government of Israel in the Ministry of Immigrant Absorption. I was part of the Knesset, I'm leading the Shalom Jerusalem Foundation, or actually what we call the Global Zionist Movement. The Global Zionist Movement. And I'm today, together with my wife Hadas, we run the Israel Organization for Young Widows and Orphans. So, as you see, multitasking. If we want to concentrate, I would say, on the things that are in my eyes, very, 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 very current and very connected to the non-Jewish world, I believe that what I'm doing in what's called the Zionist, Global Zionist Movement, is what really on the top of the list of things that I really would concentrate on, and that is there's the Zionist movement. The Zionist movement is the Jewish national movement of the return of the Jewish people to Israel. It began somewhere in the late 19th century, where the Jewish people understood that the fact that we're not where we should be in our homeland, which was referred to for so many years as a punishment from God, the exile, but it's not only a punishment, it's a sin. And we have to take our destiny in our hands, and we have to come back. So the Jewish people established the National Zionist Movement, which was a Jewish movement for the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, based on the biblical prophecy that the Jewish people will come back home to their homeland. But two things. First of all, the goal that the Bible says about the Jewish people coming back home to their homeland, it's not just for the sake of the Jewish people. It's for the sake of the whole world. Because from the very beginning, when God created the world, and he later on chooses Abraham and his family, he says to them, you'll be blessed, and you'll get the land, and you'll have descendants, but there's one purpose. That you shall serve as a source of blessing to all the nations of the world. So at that, for that concept, the Jewish people have to come back home, and from here have to come out a call to raise the banner of Hashem, God Almighty, in the world. The return of the Jewish people to Israel was called the Zionist movement, because very often Israel and Jerusalem were called Zion. But actually, they were called Zion because they are the city or the land that Zion is there. But Zion is a specific place. It's the place, in Hebrew, to litzayin, to point at something. The word to point at something is litzayin. And the noun is Zion, Tzion. This is the place where Hashem chose. Hashem pointed at it and he said, this is the place where my presence comes about in this world. And that is the Temple Mount. So when I talk now about it, not a national Zionist movement, the Jewish Zionist movement, I'm talking about the global Zionist movement, it's not about the return of the Jewish people to the land. It's about the return of Zion, the place of Hashem's name in this world, to be a house of prayer for all nations. So what I am right now calling about nations to join, and just like the Jewish people took upon themselves to establish a Jewish state, now it's a call upon the nations to join in and establish Zion as a house of prayer for all nations. How did the Jewish people remember Jerusalem in their hearts all throughout history? They always mentioned Jerusalem. They always put Jerusalem there. Every single Jewish house had a picture with Jerusalem on it in the living room, all over. They put Jerusalem in their prayer. They put Jerusalem on their heart. They put Jerusalem wherever they could. And this is what I call now, is to the nation, is to raise the banner of Zion, to put Zion on your heart, to put Zion, hang up Zion in your living room, and come to Zion, and direct your prayers to Zion, because we have a mission now. Because the Jewish people are back home. We have established an independent state. We have established Jerusalem as our capital. Now the call is for all nations to join in and to let's change the music on Temple Mount. Let's make the place into a house of prayer for all nations. We want to bring back to the world the liveliness of God's name in the world. We want the Temple Mount, which is today a place which has very often music of violence and music of hatred and music of incitement, harassment, to become a place of joy, of prayer, of all nations announcing Hashem's name in the world. So we, in the organization that I lead, it's called the Shalom Jerusalem Foundation, call upon all the nations to join the global Zionist movement. And we call upon all nations to be part of turning Zion into, excuse me, and that turning Zion into a place, a focal point of prayer, a place which will serve the raising of the banner of Hashem in the world. So it's something that I can't do alone, and it's a call for all people to join, to be part of what we're doing. And this call, I go around the world to synagogues, to churches, to community centers, to speak in front of crowds. I'm telling them, direct your prayers to Jerusalem. Connect to Zion. Connect, come to Israel, go up to the Temple Mount. And let's make sure that place becomes a house of prayer for all nations. And that's our goal. And it's a goal that I can't do alone. It's a goal I need supporters from all over the world. So that's, as I said, that's one great thing that I'm involved in. The other thing that I'm involved in is here, the house for something that I believe is... The Bible talks about it again and again. If you want to rebuild my temple, God says, if you want my temple to stand for eternity, you have to strengthen the concept of family. You have to strengthen the concept of family by supporting the young widows and orphans. Young widows and orphans are families that one parent passed away, and these families are broken. And in order to build Hashem's house, we have to help build and rebuild personal houses that have gone through a destruction, a loss of a parent. And unfortunately, today in the world, the concept, the value of family is at stake, and people don't understand the importance of family. And one of the blessings that God said to Abraham, you shall serve as a source of blessing to the families of the earth. We have to teach the concept of family. And the way Hashem wants us to teach the concept of family is through supporting families that have gone through a challenge of a loss of a parent, loss of a spouse. And so we run the Israel Organization for Young Widows and Orphans. It serves 30,000 orphan children in the world, and in Israel, 30,000 orphan children in Israel. And we try to bring the awareness, the strengthening the familyhood, because very often people deal with orphans, they understand they're talking about taking the children away from the house and putting them in different orphanages. But the Bible does not support orphanages. The Bible says there's a family, lost a parent, strengthen the family, and the best thing you can strengthen is the linkage between the child, the orphan, and the surviving parent. So that's what we do today. I deal with, as I said, rebuilding Hashem's house. It's a global mission as a house of prayer for all nations. And rebuilding families that have lost a parent and a spouse.
Let's talk about Bible prophecy a little bit.
Okay.
So, you were saying, how the Jewish people were scattered. And let's say, I think it was Rabbi Jonathan Sacks that said this, in over 100 different countries speaking over 80 different languages 100 years ago, the Jewish people were in that situation. Ezekiel, to my mind, describes that in a prophecy as a valley of very dry bones. Do you see that prophecy applying or others?
For sure, I can start even way before Ezekiel. In the book of Deuteronomy, we already see that Hashem says, I'm going to scatter you to all the corners of the world, and you're going to return, and you return physically and return your heart to serving Hashem. And yes, and the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel all describe it in words of prophecy, in words of as you said, Ezekiel 37 talks about the dry bones. That's what the people of Israel were like. We were scattered around the world, and I don't know exactly about the numbers and how many numbers and how many languages, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know, but probably in almost every single country in the world. And there was no soul. And the fact that we returned back to Israel, and not only to Israel, to Jerusalem, the city of God, the city of His divine presence in the world, and that is our capital, not only the capital of people of Israel, but the capital of the believers in God in the world. So anybody who doesn't see in the state of Israel this fulfillment of prophecy materializing and becoming a reality should buy himself a new pair of glasses, because I think that look, the Bible has been a bestseller in the world, according to what I checked lately in Google. It's been translated to 1,000 languages. It's been printed in 4 billion copies, which is pretty strange, because it's talking about a small little nation which belongs to a small little piece of land. And why would that book be a bestseller? I mean, I can understand Harry Potter is a good novel with a wonderful story. It becomes a bestseller. But the story of a tiny little nation and a tiny little piece of land, why would that be translated to so many languages? And it's obvious. And the same thing is when we refer to the fact that the people of Israel, just a few years before the establishment of the State of Israel, were confronted by a threat of destroying their whole nation. There were efforts to wipe us out from the face of the earth, and a third of our nation were wiped out. And in spite of that, a few years later, we established the State of Israel. And we look at the State of Israel, and we see, you know, it's a small state, population of less than 10 million. And we see many, many countries in the world which are much greater, but don't take such a strategic place in the courtyard of the world of nations. I just met lately a woman. She served as the minister of foreign affairs in a country which is more than double the size of the population of Israel, and I never even heard of the country. It's called Bonifarta Faso, or Bonfita Faso in Africa, and they have 25 million people. And no president of the United States ever visited them. No president of Canada ever visited them. No president of Russia or of India or of Japan. And all of those have visited Israel. And no president of Brazil ever visited them. Okay, none of the biggest countries ever came to visit. Okay, you talk about Ghana or talk about... I mean, there are many countries in the world that are much smaller, or that are much bigger than the state of Israel, but they're not... On the interest of the world, and not in the interest of the United Nations. I'm in the interest in today. Any newspaper in any place of the world, you open the newspaper, you'll see articles about Israel. People have opinions about what Israel should do and what should be our capital. We're a small little country. We shouldn't be of any interest to anybody.
And the prophet said, declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him. And like you said, the Bible went out into all the world.
Yeah, and that's what we see. So every one of these things is definitely fulfillment of prophecy. But the fact that it's fulfillment of prophecy, we're not at a show seeing a magician that doesn't really say, wow, good for you. It has an impact on ourselves. It says that we are connected to this idea that this day the people of Israel are I would say, like, When you go to a concert and you see the different instruments, one of them is a drum and one of them is a violin and one of them is a cello and one of them is a piano. You don't expect the piano to be a drum, and you don't expect the cello to be a violin. But the concept is that the conductor wants to get each one of them part of the symphony, the harmony. And so we are here to make harmony in the world, and that's our mission as the people of Israel, representing God's name in the world, and that's what we're here for.
So when the state of Israel was first established, it was definitely a lot more secular than it is today. what I see from my perspective developing in the land is what I would call a biblical culture. And do you see that process? Do you see Israel becoming more religious? Do you see a new culture developing here?
I'm not crazy about the word religious.
Right.
I don't think that what we're talking about is a list of a codex of rules. We're talking about a series of values that should be guiding our style of life, and everybody can implement that in their lives in a different way. But yes, we are connected to the Bible. We have I run a Bible study in the Knesset until this very day, and I think that many, many people understand that that our identification certificate is the Bible, and many people understand that these are the values that we want to return to. And turning to the values of the Bible means trying to get an understanding of what they mean, not just keeping Shabbat and doing this and not doing that and doing this and not doing that, but living a life of the Bible, living an understanding that my whole attitude, the whole atmosphere of my environment, on every single day of my life, how I speak to my wife, how I raise my children, how I cross the street, is part of being part of a person who's connected to the word of Hashem that comes about in the Bible. So yes, and I said again, this is a call for all people. So when I devote my life and we work here together with my wife, both of us don't take a salary, and we take care of God's children, the widows and the orphans. It's part of being, it's part of living the Bible. When everything you see here, yesterday we had over 100 little orphan children here, playing and enjoying, and we're filling them with happiness and glory of that's called living the Bible. So putting the Bible or putting God into religion is sometimes very much making him small. He's part of the whole everything. He's part of the way we deal with our wars. It's part of the way of we act humbly. It's a whole testimony of life. And yes, it's the Bible. And yes, it's Jerusalem. And yes, it's worshiping Hashem in the ways that He is that He's guiding us.
So you guide, obviously, take groups. I just met you the other day. I saw you were taking a group up to the Temple Mount. So what do you see in those groups?
This is part of when I take groups up to the Temple Mount, and that's what we do. That's what I do very often. I just came back from the Temple Mount also. What we do is we try to get them connected to the concept of Zion. Just for instance, I have a pin which says Zion on it in 20 different languages, and I tell them, put this on your heart. I have a picture of this which I tell people to put it, hang it in your living room. And be part of the global Zionist movement, and that's part of being part of the global Zionist movement is coming up to the temple, coming up to and putting Zion on your hearts. I tell them, take Zion and put it on your hearts. And this is what we do. We try to raise the awareness of the centrality of Zion. And Zion is Temple Mount. And very often, unfortunately, for many years, people were coming and they would stop at the Western Wall. And that's like, you made the whole way here and you go back home without going to the place, without being there, and today we recited, today is the first day of the new month, so we recited the Psalms of 113 to 118, the Psalms of Hallel, praise of God, praising the Lord. I try to go up and we recite the 15 Songs of Ascent. So we're there in the courtyard of God, and I invite all people that come to Israel. We take groups to the Temple Mount. And once again, it's not a tour of sightseeing. It's not a tour of amusement. It's not fun. It's not even study of history and archaeology. It's coming to stand in the place where God chose to rest His divine presence. It's standing there in front of God, talking to Him, thanking Him for the wonderful things He's doing for us. Talk to Him about praying for healing, physical healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, psychological healing, emotional healing, financial healing, educational healing. So we go up there and we're in the presence of Hashem.
So, you know, we've talked about years ago sort of where the Jewish people were, how they've come back to the land, how the prophecy is being fulfilled. We actually just went to see Yonatan Rizal perform the other night, and he's putting scripture to music, and there's a, you know, particular culture developing here, and your people are coming from all over the world to come and see the Temple Mount, and Israel's kind of a center focus in the world. I mean, something happens here, we build a few houses, and all of a sudden they're having a special session at the United Nations, so there's a lot of focus on Israel. I mean, this is a process, and where ultimately do you see that process going to?
Look, my master's is in history. I can tell you about the past. One of the most difficult things for me to predict is the future. I can't tell you what will be, when will be, and it's not in my job to decide what will be. My job is to decide is to describe what our mission is today. And our mission is today to call upon all nations to join the global Zionist movement. To call upon all nations to understand that we, the people of Israel, have come back home to serve a purpose, to call out to the nations to come to Zion. Zion, you know, there's no such thing as Zionism without Zion. And just like there's no journalism without journalists and no tourism without tourists, there's no Zionism without Zion. And now when we're talking about a global Zionist movement, we're talking about a movement that puts Zion in the center. And that means the call is to all people, to all nations, connect to the Bible. Connect to the Bible that talks about the connection between the people of Israel, to the land of Israel, as a source of blessing to all nations.
So you're saying you're going to do your job the best that you can, and
I'm calling
let Hashem
people, but
do...
For sure, but we have to remember that, you know, you plant a tree in Israel, you understand that the tree doesn't grow by you, it grows by Hashem. Yeah. But if you sit around and don't take care of what you plant, it's not going to grow. So yes, we want things to grow. And we know that they'll grow by the blessing of Hashem. But without planting them, without watering them, without plowing, without cleaning, without trimming, it won't grow. So we're talking about a movement that needs to grow. It needs to be watered, it needs to be supported, it needs to be nurtured, and it needs to bring sustainability. And that's what we're here for. We're here to put significance into the words that we're talking. And it's a call for all nations, even the Christadelphians.
All right, well, thank you so much for meeting with us. And if people want to learn more about what you're doing, or...
We're shalomjerusalem.org. Shalomjerusalem.org. You can join, you can correspond, you can contribute, you can become a member, you can join the movement. Say anybody who contributes $20 gets a pin. You can contribute $50, you can get a book. You can contribute $200, get a sign to your wall. But that doesn't matter. The concept is... Be part of the movement. We're talking about a movement. We want, get a shirt, print Zion on your shirt. We want the world to have the awareness of Zion.